Hi, I'm Josh Turner, Church Planting Director with the SBC of Virginia. From the mountains to the Atlantic Ocean, from the urban population centers to family farms, from cities to towns, and everywhere in between, we need more churches. Virginia is home for my family and more than 8.6 million people. A recent study by the University of Virginia revealed that out of those 8.6 million people, most of them have no religious affiliation. Less than 20% consider themselves evangelical or Protestant. That means almost 7 million people are lost in Virginia. Here are some specifics. Close to 1 million of those 8.6 million Virginia residents are Hispanic or Latino. One out of every four homes in Virginia has a language other than English spoken within it. Based on the average size congregation in America, we would need more than 100,000 churches this Sunday just to meet the current need. And even if we continue to plant churches at our current rate, it would take us 1,500 years to plant enough churches to reach all of the lost. As you can see so clearly, the need is great and the time is short. Would you please pray about planting a church in Virginia? Also pray about the incredible need and the gospel opportunities. Through the Lord and our partnership with Sin Network Virginia and SBCV, you won't be alone. And because of you, the unchurched will know that they are not alone.
Let me first release the children, okay? You guys can go. Get out, please. And then, just kidding. Have a good time. And let me invite our, introduce our guest speaker, okay? So I did this last week, too. His name is Daryl Webb, Brother Daryl. We've known him for, gosh, it's been a while. Yeah, I remember that first lunch at Potbelly's, like eight years ago, maybe. Around the time we were planting, actually. He's was just a wonderful brother. He's pastored for many years at Macon Road Baptist Church. I found this online, and Exmoor Baptist Church. And since 2006, he's been helping with Southern Baptist Convention of Virginia. So last week, our brother Matt came, if you remember Matt, and he's also part of SBCV. So Daryl's just been a great supporter, and he's always praying for us in the background and meeting with us and just getting us connected. So I personally really appreciate Daryl. And so let's give him a warm welcome and thank you for, yeah.
Thanks, bro. Okay, sounds good. All right, I think I'm on here. Hey, what a joy, amazing joy and blessing. Thank you so much, Pastor Robert and Pastor Henry and all of you guys. We're so blessed, and hope Matt didn't ruin things last week, but it's all good. I'm kidding. No, we're great partners in the gospel, and he is my partner for Northern Virginia and really our state, as you heard from Matt. And I'm just joking. We're very deep, loving brothers, and as much as co-laborers. And so, you know, we're just rejoiced. And today I share that video with you from the beginning because we need desperation. We need a heart that is broken for the harvest. And today my prayer, as we'll open the Word of God to Luke chapter 10, if you'll join me there this morning, my prayer as before we leave this place and as God would just speak to us through the power of His Word this morning, that we would be broken, that our hearts would be postured in a place of, Lord, there's an amazing harvest field that is absolutely of people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Fairfax, Virginia, where we're sitting right now, and I'm standing here, every recognized nation in the world lives in this county. And today, my prayer for we as a church is that we would pray to the Lord of the harvest. But as we're praying, that God, I'm your laborer. Send me. and to live a life that is sent. You know, often we don't like to send people, you know. We've had friends move all over the world, and, you know, we, you know, sending is often a connotation of like, you know, tears and oh no, you're leaving. But God is saying to us, man, to live that life daily for His glory. And that is my prayer for our hearts today, that we would, and if you're here today and you're without Jesus, that first and foremost, to begin a personal walk with Him. But today, as we look to the Word, and I do want to say, I don't know if Matt said a word about this last week or not, but on this front chair here, if you don't get this magazine, I hope you will, because this is a great tool for our partnership together, Proclaimer Magazine, and it literally helps us to celebrate together what God is doing in the harvest. Celebrate the work that He's doing here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Washington, D.C., around the world. And we're seeing churches planted, and it is amazing on a weekly basis, the laborers that are coming. But it is because it is the churches, Acts 9:31, it is the churches that work together in the partnership for the sake of the gospel. And so this would do nothing but encourage your heart. And so I hope you'll get a handle or get a hold of this. And I know you guys just got back from Overflow, from Fusion Camp. Family Fusion is to come. That's an awesome opportunity as well. But there's a few advertisements like that, but it is so much of, wow, God, look what you're doing. And so I want to encourage you with that. But let's go to Luke chapter 10 today. And as we just look and as we just seek God through the power of His Word, we're going to today just really an urgent call from God, living sent. And as we look to the Word today, you know, Jesus, and this is so powerful because Jesus was ever calling out people to follow Him. He was calling, and just as we've sung this morning, man, I so appreciate your worship team. You need to be thankful for those dear brothers. And God bless you guys. Let's give them a great hand, right? And yeah, absolutely. You know, we need to say thank you to one another as we serve the work of God. There's a lot of sacrifice, I know, as they do, and the work that they do, and pray toward it. But, you know, as Jesus called out, and He was just in chapter 9, you know, He was calling out, saying, you know, come follow Me, leave all you have, and seek after My will, My way, and give yourself, surrender yourself. We've sung that this morning. And how many had excuses that I've got to go get married, or I've got to do this or that, or bury, you know. But now we find Luke 10, he says, after this, in verse 1, the Lord appointed 72 others. Those in chapter 9 had missed the opportunity. Don't lose that. And friends, my prayer for us today is we won't miss God's opportunity. What an opportunity we have. We should not view the world about us as an obstacle, as a people that are just, you know, well, they're just who they are and they're going their way and there's no hope. But wow, what an opportunity. And as Jesus said, He says, after the Lord appointed 72 others, sent them on ahead of Him. Jesus was going. And you know, just as He's called us to be ambassadors, those that would go ahead of Him to prepare the way, to see Him mightily move. And He says to them, He said, He sent them two by two into every town and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Are y'all ready to sign up? This is not the positive encouraging, okay? But you know what? It's worth it. And He goes to say, in verse 4, carry no money bag. Really? No knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. be focused. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted into heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons who are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Father, thank you. This is the power of your word, God. It is ever living. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, it is absolutely, Lord, relevant for this very moment, today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. So, Father, use it, we pray, to speak into our hearts in power in these moments. God, transform us as only you can, Spirit of God. Speak in ways that only you can. And we'll give you praise for all that you do in Jesus' name. All people said, amen. 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 Yeah, a week ago, my wife and I, we went to a beautiful place, and I don't know, I think we've got it up. Yeah, anyway, there we go. Yeah, you guys keep going. There we go. That's beautiful. Right here, amazing place, Lake Placid, New York. Anybody ever been to Lake Placid, New York? Anyway, if you've never been there, oh, that's cool. If you've never been there, you ought to go. But you know, as we sat and, my goodness, looked over the beautiful Adirondack Mountains, and as we saw Whiteface Mountain, and we ascended, well, we drove up there, but anyway, to that mountain, and we saw some amazing, just beauty of God's creation and so much. And here we sat at this really neat little fire there. It's our anniversary trip. And so what an awesome time. But you know, my heart, as we were there and I learned that 2,200 people live in that little town, and yet I saw very little gospel witness, I became very convicted. But I became very overwhelmed to go, wow, 2,200 people. Maybe most will never hear or know of the love of Jesus, will not hear a gospel message preached, will not have a word of God. And my heart became burdened, and I said, oh Lord, send laborers for your harvest. God, we will go. And God, I pray that, and you know, often it's so true for us that, you know, the beauty of this and you know how we can get so focused in a day in what we're doing and our, how many of you are list people? I am, yeah. We can get so focused on our way and we can be looking at so many things, but we forget about the heart of God. We forget about those people that we see and we encounter, as my wife and I did, even in this town. And most likely, 90% plus are lost without Jesus. And Jesus, as He was so faithful to do, and friend, I believe as we seek to live the gospel, to leave a testimony of the gospel, but to pass the baton of the gospel, Jesus was faithful to do so. Because the 12 that walked with Him, and now the 70, some say the 72, however it be, theologians debate, but nonetheless, it was many here that He is saying to us as the harvest, as a farmer looks over a harvest field. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been a farmer. I've not. But one thing I do know, I know many of them. And their focus is ever on bringing in that harvest. It's ever on caring for and tending to and seeing that fruit comes about. And then there is even reproduction of that, so that many will be fed, and their families specifically. And how Jesus, though, as the earnestness, as the seriousness of the farmer, Jesus really, again, speaks in words of full understanding for this audience. And for these to say, this harvest, and He's speaking in that of a multitude of humanity. It is ready for the gathering. It is ready. The opportunity is there. And so Jesus, and I'll be as brief as possible today, but I want to encourage you to where He is saying, pray. See, without His power, without His presence, it is void. Without Him coming and doing the greater work, without Him coming to be at work in Lake Placid, New York, without Him coming to be at work here in Fairfax, in the hearts of our neighbors, in the hearts of co-workers, in the hearts of people that are far from Jesus, it is a void. And He says to these, He says to we as His disciples, He says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. He said, I own all these people. I created them all. They are my creation. And He says, pray to me. Pray for my presence. Pray for the work of my Spirit that I would send forth laborers. And now 11 verse 3, He says, go your way. He says, you're a part of it. Be a part of it. And we're going to continue that. And you know, the matter of it is that as Josh said in that video a moment ago, and Josh Turner leads our church planting endeavors together. Man, over 8 million people in Virginia. 80% to 90% of them do not have a relationship with Jesus. Man, that ought to cause our hearts to be burdened, to be like, wow, God, these are people on their way to a Christless eternity. And one out of every four homes speaks another language. Hello? That we would say, oh God, for the nations we pray. And I can guarantee you it's greater percentage in this area. But as we look at the worldwide, 8 billion people. 8 billion people, more than half of the global population unreached for the gospel. And so, what do we need to be praying? First of all, that laborers would be multiplied. Man, pray that laborers, and yeah, you guys can move that. Pray that laborers would be multiplied. Pray, oh God, He says here, I'm sending you out. And He's saying, as Jesus, and Jesus here on His way to the cross, you know, the urgency of how that as He would go to the cross and He would die and buried, be rose again, send back to heaven. But how the urgency of one day His coming again. And how is, as we think of this, is the choosing, you say, well, why the 70? Why the 72? Well, I look back even to Numbers, the book of Numbers. And you look back there, to Numbers, chapter 11, 24 and 25. Moses chose 70 elders that would be spokesmen, that would be these that would see the glory of God. And so I believe kind of in the similar of that, Jesus now chooses these 70. And as he calls them out, he says, basically, go your way. He's saying, as you are praying, he says, be the answer to your prayer. Be the answer to your prayer. And where else in Scripture does Jesus say go? Matthew, Mark, you know, the Gospels, John. He says, go and make disciples. Man, for we who are followers of Jesus, you know, his command to us. And here he is commanding these laborers as they would go out into the harvest. And I love John 20 and 21. Jesus said to them, peace be with you as the Father has sent me. Jesus, the greatest missionary to ever live. Man, the Father sent from the glory of heaven, God incarnate, would come to this earth. And Jesus would come here for the specific mission of taking on our sins on Calvary's cross. And as he would die on Calvary's cross, and as he would be our atoning sacrifice, literally our propitiation to take upon him the wrath of God, but then would be buried in a tomb, but in 3 days later rise victorious. Man, what a great missionary. But he says, as the Father sent me, he said, even so, die to you. You know, John, you guys were singing that we would die to us. And Henry was speaking of that in the Sunday school, to die to ourselves. Be sent. You are sent. Man, where you work, live, and play, he said, I am sending you and empowering you of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad for the person that was sent to you? I'm so thankful. Man, I'm thankful for the pastor that led my father and his entire family to Christ. I'm so thankful that in turn my dad led me to faith in Jesus. I'm so thankful that God used our family to lead our children to faith in Jesus. But as we would make disciples that make disciples, friend, that's why we're here. That's the only reason we're here. And so that we would pray, oh God, that these laborers would be multiplied because the harvest is vast. I'm thankful for young man Abner Diaz. Abner is from Central America. And my, he's a young guy. Man, he's only like 21 years old. But Abner, when Springfield, First Baptist Church of Springfield came to me, Pastor Jason came and said, man, we need a laborer for a very diverse student ministry. Our church is many Hispanic. We need a young guy that bilingual, that has the call of God on his life to preach the word and to make Jesus known. And I thought, now where in the world are we going to find him? And we began to pray. Man, some weeks later, we were in our orientation for church planters. We had guys there that were seeking after the heart of God towards planting churches. And one of my coworkers said, I need to introduce you to someone. He took me across the room, and there's Abner. And man, God has raised up Abner now, and he has walked through and is now looking towards planting church for the glory of God. God has raised him up. And as a resident, and we're so excited about that work. Churches, they're coming out of the churches. And may it be with you here that as you're praying, oh God, raise up laborers for your harvest. God's saying, will you be that laborer? Will you go your way? Will you go into the harvest? Will you have a burden for the 8 million and so in Virginia, the millions that live right here in Fairfax County? to be that laborer, to be obedient. See, that was the heart of these 70. They weren't resistant to Jesus. There's no word about that here. They were like, okay, that's where we're supposed to go. That's what we're to do. And they gave up. He said, I'm sending you out. And yeah, okay, so Lord, here we are as lambs going into the wolves, people that are going to reject the gospel. But Jesus said, hey, if they're rejecting the gospel, no, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And you can know for certain that you are protected because you are in the hand of God. And so my prayer is that we would be as those 70, that we would pray, oh God, we would pray laborers, God, would you multiply your laborers among the harvest? But then notice secondly, I pray that our churches, that we as a church would be unified in the gospel. I pray that we would together. Notice what happened. Guys, you can roll that as you wish. I'm going to be like when Gordon Fort spoke here for the prayer gathering. Yeah, I shared that a moment ago. He didn't keep up with any of these PowerPoints. But there are a few things here that will matter as we walk together. But as we think here that churches, that we would be unified, that Calvary Hill would be unified around the gospel. That we'd be a people to say, Lord, we're living sent. We're going to our neighbors. We're going to the nations. Lord, wherever you have us to go. And as they were unified, notice here that Jesus paired them up. That notice there in verse 1. That he would appoint them. And then two by two, he would send them to every town. And then as they were sent out, as they were going ahead of Jesus, they were unified also by his instruction. There in verse 4, and I'm not going to be able to absolutely give full attention to all these scriptures, but the words given to them, he said, go and be the peace. Allow the peace of God that is living in you. He says, say peace to this home. You know, there is no peace aside from Jesus. But you know, we as follower people, and I believe that most in this room, you profess that, yes, I'm a follower of the person of Jesus. Man, it's the peace of God that lives in our hearts and lives. And it is that we can go and bring peace on that in that workplace. We alone, we can bring the peace of Jesus, and we're unified that as a body of Christ. And as Jesus went on to speak to them, he said, and go, and as you're going, I like in verse 9, he says, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come. And see, I love that because see, we don't need to just be a people who are going to be a rescue for the human body and be ones that are on a humanitarian effort. Nothing wrong with humanitarian efforts. But with that, to gain the right to say Jesus loves you. With that, the gospel. Man, the kingdom of God has come. That Jesus, He gave His life. He laid down His life so that He might gather to Himself a kingdom people. Those bought by the blood of Jesus, purchased by the blood of Christ. Those who are now living the risen life, who are now a testimony of the grace of God. Man, to be those people, to love people in the name of Jesus. Yes, to go to your neighbor when there's a birth in their family. I have a neighbor who's Muslim. And man, we're trying to do all possible. I fail in many ways. But man, we are trying to love them in the name of Jesus. To gain every opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. May that be with us. May that be we as those people, that we'd pray for those opportunities, that we would pray that we as a church would be unified around the gospel. Notice in these verses, he said, there will be hardships. He said, there will be, we must not falter to fear, but to live in faith. There, as we see in verse 3, he said, we must be unified to trust God for His provision. He's like, don't even carry your sandals with you. Man, knowing that God will provide. And as we see lives change because we are extending the love of Jesus, understand that we must bear the message that judgment is coming. And you know, as he speaks there in verse 13 to 15, he's saying to them, he's saying, you guys, he said, you know the truth in Chorazin and Bethsaida. And then there's been mighty works, and yet there's a greater judgment coming because you know the truth. And the truth that will set you free. And friend, there is a judgment coming. And that ought to give us such a burden in our hearts. As we look over the masses of people. Man, as I think of those 2,200, and I don't know how many in that town know Jesus. But man, you know, as we drive up and drive the highways and the byways and go to areas where it's so evident that people are so far from God's. And to know that they're one heartbeat from eternal damnation, separated from God forever and ever. And friend, that should cause us to pray, oh God, unite our hearts in the gospel. They had one focus. They were leaving all and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. They were united around the furtherance of the gospel. You know, if I were the devil, I'd make sure that united prayer for the lost never happened. But friend, I appreciate the prayer this morning and how that's where it begins. Oh God, unite my heart with your heart. Unite our hearts together. Whatever it takes, Lord, unite us as a church. Unite us as churches. I'm thankful for the heart of Pastor Henry and Pastor Robert that we're uniting with churches in this area that are preaching the gospel, that are like-minded, have a heart for people far from God. And friend, that's who we need to be, that we would reach them for the sake of the kingdom of God. This is so powerful. I don't know if we have that slide. Yes, we do. Thank you, brothers. But Dr. Paul Chitwood, who leads our International Mission Board, and you know, the Southern Baptist Convention, of which we are all a part, we're all in. We have a North American Mission Board of near 3,000 and so missionaries, and we have an International Mission Board of another 3,500 missionaries and so. And how awesome it is that through our cooperative giving, and our work together, as we give together, as we pray together, as we go together, no one church could reach more than 7,000, near 7,000 missionaries. But together, we're able to do that. And the organization, the work we do internationally, Dr. Paul Chitwood, he represents and he helps lead that effort. And he says, embracing the mission together is more important than ever. Because the need for the gospel is more urgent than ever. And would you read this with me? And let's read it aloud. 157,690 people die daily without Christ. 2 per every second. Every one of those dying without hope deserve our unrelenting devotion to the cause of Christ. Would you just let that rest on you? Friend, I'm not here to guilt us. I'm not here to, you know, for any reason but to say urgency. Man, to live sent. So many of us here in this room, man, young in your life. If you're like me, you're old. If you're like Pastor Henry, you're even older. I'm kidding. But, you know, but wherever we are, what is God saying to us? Where has God got us on mission?
for His glory? Are we using every opportunity, understanding that even since I've just begun speaking this morning, the numbers of people that have been flung out into eternity? Friend, that we would be unified to embrace the work of the gospel together, the urgency that lie before us. And as these guys went out preaching the kingdom of God, warning of eternal judgment, understanding verse 16, you know, we don't need to fear what others would do to us. Often we don't share the gospel because of that very thing. Friend, the sin of silence is deadly. And how we need, as Jesus, verse 16, y'all just underline that to say that they're not rejecting me, but they're rejecting Jesus. And we don't become angry at them. But we present the gospel, we present the love of Jesus, we walk patiently. You think about how patient God was with me, I know, before coming to faith in Jesus. And I'm sure for you as well. But as we go, take someone with us. Hand the gospel to our children. Allow them to go and to proclaim the Word of God. A few weeks ago, our son was ordained to the gospel ministry. And man, I tell you what, it is the grace of God. It is all of God's. But my prayer is, Lord, the target's great on him. Help me to love him, to fan that flame, to do all in the name of Jesus, to cause him to lift up the majestic name of the name above all names, Jesus. And to pray that his heart, and he is ever walking to unite others' hearts for the sake of the gospel. And notice today, as we kind of come to this, that we would pray, Lord, multiply your laborers. That we pray, Lord, unite our hearts for the sake of the gospel, that we as Calvary Hill would be united in the gospel. That churches preaching the gospel here and around the world, that we would be united to preach and uplift the name of Jesus. But then notice, I love verse 17. This is amazing. That Jesus would be glorified. It's not about us. Life is not about you. It's not about me. Sorry if I messed you up in saying that. But our life as followers of Jesus is to live sent. It's living like this. Can y'all just put your hands out in front of you? It's living open-handed, saying, God, this is your life. You made me. You knew me in my mother's womb. Yeah, you can put your hand down fine. I don't want to wear you out. You know? But God, I live open-handed because for your glory. God, for your name, for your fame. And notice, I love this, that the Bible says to us, and this is awesome, and does this not give us hope, that the 72 all return. They were going out as lambs among wolves. They were going out having little of nothing. Didn't even have the food before them, but God provided. God did a work beyond them. They were preaching judgment to people, yet their lives were spared. There are many martyrs around the world. But thanks be to God for the work that He does to sustain His people. And as they returned, they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, whoa, it's not about you. This is not about us. Oh, they were, whoa, man, look at us, Lord. Those demons were subject to us in your name. Jesus said, look, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What God can do in a moment's time. Man, how great is your God? Man, how big is your God? To see Him do what only He can do. Man, the people we think, those are unsavable. You know, those are people that just won't ever come to faith in Jesus. God's like, how big is God? How great is our God? We sing that song, but do we really believe it? And so Jesus diverted them to understanding it wasn't about them. But he went on to say to them, he said, I say to you, he said, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Y'all ought to underline that. Because see, when God is starting to impress your hearts to say, look, there's a next door neighbor that's in desperate need of Jesus. That coworker who you sit side by side with every day, all day. That young, you know, that young guy that is among your church, those people that you could influence, maybe not 70, but perhaps, who knows, that you're trying to pass the baton to say, go get them for Jesus' sake. Friend, we need to live in His authority. We need to live understanding that it's all of His power. It's all about His presence. It's not about us. It's all of, He said, I have given you authority. I even to walk. Man, how awesome is that? Even into that degree of walking over and stomping on serpents and scorpions. Nothing will hurt you. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Now, friend, I'm here to tell you, the greatest joy of our life should be leading another person to Jesus. This morning, if I ask in this room, how many of you have experienced that? If you've never experienced that, and you say, I'm a follower of the person of Jesus, man, God's got an opportunity before you. And He said, if you'll join me in praying, Lord, multiply laborers for your harvest. Lord, unite my heart. Unite your church for the sake of the gospel. And Lord, cause us to just give glory to you. Lord, pray that that we would bring glory, that Jesus Christ would be glorified. Friend, that's the joy. And my, the joy that comes. And let me just share a few things of this. Only in Jesus were they empowered to cast out demons. Only in Jesus could they celebrate. Only in Jesus to rejoice in allowing them to be His servants. To celebrate the greatness and the goodness of God. You know, as one missionary said, when you're consumed with sharing the love of Jesus, they said, we don't know what is on the other side of saying yes to Jesus, but there will be joy. Celebration of life of Jesus is when we live sent. This morning, let me share this quickly. And I'm going to pull it up because I may forget because the Lord just kind of put it on my heart. There was a young man born in 1887. His name was William Borden. You guys may have heard the story, but it ever reminds me of a life that is given to Jesus in obedience is always a life of joy, no matter what. But William Borden, he's an heir of the Borden Dairy Estate. His parents had a world of money. His parents had a lot of expectation that he would take it all over once they died. But William Borden, the story says, is a Christian. He traveled. Man, his parents would give it, literally, they gave him a trip around the world. How many of y'all like to have a trip around the world? Anybody? Yeah, okay. I hear you. Well, that ain't never going to happen for me, I don't think. But I'm sure he was on a boat, no doubt. I'm sure he was. My friend, as he traveled and he went through Asia, the Middle East, he went through Europe, he felt God's calling to leave everything behind and to follow Jesus. He wrote home to his parents and he said to them, he said, sorry, but I'm following after God's calling in my life. I'm following after the missionary call. And in preparation for the mission, he wrote these two words in the back of his Bible, no reserves. And so when he left when he got back, he finished Yale. And boy, it was a Christian institution, I'm sure, at that time. But 1909, and he turned some very high-paying jobs down in the moment of time. And the story goes on to tell, as he did so, and as he placed his life before King Jesus in surrender, he had written, "No reserves," but then he wrote two more words that said, "No retreat." And it goes on to tell how that William Borden, after he graduated from Princeton, he went to Egypt to study Arabic. And during that time there, he got spinal meningitis. And in those moments, he wrote in the back of his Bible, he had written, "No reserve, no retreat," and he wrote, "No regret." And you know what happened to him? The story tells us that before he finished even in Egypt to go on to the mission field to serve as God was calling him, that he died at 19 years old. Young age. And you know, there are many who said, "That was a wasted life." But I tell you, as many authors wrote and many reclaim this great story, William Borden's life was a life well worth living. Because he laid himself down. He laid himself down to say, "No reserve, no retreat, no regrets." And you know, I don't know where God's leading of your heart and life today, but friend, that's obedience and that's great joy. That's amazing. That is an amazing work of the Spirit of God. To take a life that could have been lived and had all the wealth and all the goods, temporary things of this world, and said, "No, whatever it takes, with no regret, I'm going to follow Jesus." And so I don't know where God's calling of your life today, but you know, I love the old song from years ago. I'm an old guy, so it's still a great song though. "Lord of the harvest, place your fire in me. Servant you need now, servant I will be. Give me the eyes of your spirit, a heart of compassion to go. Lord of the harvest, Lord of the harvest, I'll go." And friends, today my prayer for us, man, I want to be the laborer. I want to be the life sent, to live sent. And man, as the next generation and those coming behind us, will we hand off the baton to say, "Follow hard after Jesus, go after His calling, seek out the harvest, the millions that have never heard yet the blessed name of Jesus, and seek the lost that they might be saved for the glory of God." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. And Father, I pray that in 10:2, God, you would call us out. Maybe today there's those in this room that say, "I don't know Jesus as my Lord. I don't know the Lord of the harvest. I'm one of those of the harvest that has not been brought in." And today they would say, "Oh God, come into my heart. I believe on Jesus. I turn my heart to you, Jesus. Save me. Come into me." But as a follower of Jesus today, would you put on hearts in this room to say, "Daryl, I don't have a heart for the harvest, but today I pray, God, give me that heart. Give me that heart for people that are far from you, from God, that are dying without the love of Jesus. And I would commit today, Lord, I will pray that laborers would be multiplied. I would pray that my heart and our church would be unified around the gospel, that Jesus would be glorified for the joy of the Lamb and one day to cast that crown of joy at His feet for those who say, yes, I commit my life to be a winner of souls, to be one that goes to the harvest to say, come to Jesus. And I give my life away to the generation behind me to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Friend, may we be those people. Would you ask of God to cause you to be that one today? That your heart would be burdened for a harvest field. People that are multitudes of people. And friend, it starts right where you're living. Right where you're working. Right where you're playing. And as you go, and some of you will be going to Ecuador in the weeks to come. Wherever God sends you, it's no mistake. But we don't have to leave where we're at to tell people about Jesus. Father, I pray of our hearts today. God, may we live sent with urgency, not to be complacent, not to be, Lord, as those churches, as we've spoken of already this morning of Revelation, that were complacent, Lord, that did not have a heart for the harvest. But God, a people that are in love with Jesus, in love with the gospel, and are ready, Lord, with no regrets, wherever, whenever, whatever, my life belongs to you. Maybe today it's the call to preach the Word of God. Yeah, that's you. That's me. Maybe to give your life to full-time ministry. Maybe you don't get a big paycheck. But I tell you, like William Borden, no regrets to say, Lord, I lay it down. Take me for your glory. So, Father, we love you and we need you so desperately. We cry out to you. Help us, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We praise you. May we live as these dear ones, sent and rejoicing because of the greatness. And that, God, because that our names are written down in heaven, not in what we could do for you, but all that you've done for us. May we live our lives abandoned as ambassadors for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you and we bless you and we thank you. In your powerful and holy name we pray. Amen.